The scripture reading this morning comes from Hebrews 10, verses 5 through 7. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll, I have come to do your will, O God.'"
It's good to see you this morning. We have a holiday on us. Starts tomorrow, or is tomorrow. It's Memorial Day. You know, when something really big, really important happens, especially something that's affects our life for the rest of our life, we determine we're never going to forget. We're going to remember those great days. We're going to remember the great sacrifices that were made. We're going to remember the great loss. And we're going to remember the great victories. And we promise ourselves we will never, ever forget. But we do. We promised ourselves we would never forget Bunker Hill or Saratoga or Ticonderoga. We promised we would never forget Shiloh and Gettysburg. We promised we would never forget the Rough Riders going up San Juan Hill. We promised we would never forget those trenches in France in World War I and the many people that died. And we were absolutely for sure we would never forget the Battle of the Bulge, the beaches of Normandy, what happened at Corregidor and Bataan. And we promised we'd never forget the Chosin Reservoir. We promised we'd never forget the jungles of Vietnam. We promised we would always remember the Tet Offensive. We'd never forget, we'd never, ever, ever forget Baghdad, Afghanistan, and all those other places. Now, we remember when we think about it, we remember all those coffins with flags on them. We remember those cemeteries are full of white crosses. We remember people that we used to know that didn't come home from the battles. But for the most part, we went on with our life. We didn't mean to, we just did. It's because we're so busy. There's so much to do. I see it in every funeral. When the last people, the ones that knew the person the best and loved them the most, are standing there at the coffin and crying and trying to figure out how they're going to live another day without this person, just a few feet away out under the arrival hood, the other people who were friends and loved ones who came for the same reason are quickly getting back into life. They're checking their messages. They're making plans for where they're going to eat lunch. And life takes back over. We didn't mean to forget. We just forgot. We got busy. There's so much to do. There's urgent matters that are always pressed upon us. There's distractions. Some remember longer than others. A few never forget. But most of us, we forget. We don't mean to, but we do. So to help us not forget, we pick out holidays. We used to call it Decoration Day, and then we called it, then we have Veterans Day, and we have Memorial Day, and we want that to kind of help us remember. We put up monuments, and they work for a while. Then we wonder, what's that for? When our nation was established, they wanted to make sure that we never forgot that God blessed America, that we were one nation under God. And so every building we built in Washington, we carved scripture on the walls of it, carved in stone, so it would always be there, and we would never forget. When we put the Washington Monument up, there's almost a verse on every step going up there, because little children picked out the verses and sent money from their lunch pails to pay for that monument. Nobody sees that anymore. On the very top of the Washington Monument is a Latin phrase that means "to God be the glory." And the idea was, when the very first ray of sunshine falls on this city, our capital, there would be a praise to God to meet it. But we forgot. There's even an image of Moses and the Ten Commandments right behind where the Supreme Court sits. Even the CIA building has carved in its wall, "The truth will make you free." And yet, for the most part, we forgot. Monuments help. Holidays help. But you need something more than that. To the Jews of old, so they wouldn't forget the Passover, they had a meal every year. It was very structured. It was full of all kinds of unusual commandments, so that they wouldn't forget that they owed their life to God. And we have a weekly celebration where we are forced to remember, or invited to remember, what Christ did for us. You know, Jesus commanded that we do it in His memory, the Lord's Supper. He gave us another ritual to even become a Christian that sets that day apart, but for the most part, we forgot that one too. But each week we come together to remember His death, to remember His promises, to remember His blood and His body. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, He never mentions the Lord's Supper, but over and over again He commands us to remember. To remember. And so it's especially appropriate on the Lord's Day for us to remember what He did for us. But it's also important for us to remember the memorial that this meal is. I don't have time today to read all 39 verses, but I want you to open your Bibles right now to Hebrews chapter 10. And look at these verses as I call them out and as we remember. In verse 3, He tells us we must remember our sins. Often we forget that we're sinners. Even though God told us everyone sins and falls short of the glory of God, and John told us if we say we have no sin, we lie, and yet we forget. And it's at that meal, when we're eating the Lord's Supper and we examine His body and we examine our life, that we're brought face to face on a weekly basis with, "I'm not the person I should be. There's sin in my life, and it shouldn't be there." So in verse 3, He wants us to remember sin. In verse 4 through verse 10, He wants us to remember the sacrifice that God provided for us as a remedy. I want us to read those verses. He said, "For it's impossible for this," listen, "it's impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, He said, 'Sacrifices and offerings thou hast no desire, but a body thou hast prepared for me. In burnt offerings and in sin offerings thou hast taken no pleasure.' Then I said, Lo, I have come to do thy will, O God. As it is written of me in the roll of the book, when he said above, thou hast neither desire nor taken pleasure in the sacrifices and offerings of burnt offerings and sin offerings. These are referred according to the law. Then he added, lo, I have come to do thy will. He has abolished the first in order to establish the second. Verse 10, and by that we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We must remember our sin, and we must remember God's sacrifice. And then look at verse 16. We must also remember God's covenant. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws upon their hearts and write them on their minds. God made a covenant with us. This is an absolute binding agreement that when we become a Christian, when we're buried with him, when we're raised with him, when we believe him and gain access to his grace through our faith and our obedience, he promises us certain things. He claims us and he owns us. And this memorial meal that we eat is a reminder of the covenant that we have with God. He didn't just notice us. He didn't just like us. He didn't bring crumbs for us at the park on occasion to feed us and enjoy our company. He wanted to be one with us, and he was. And we remember that we were bought with the blood of Jesus. In verse 17, we remember God's promise. Look what he said. And then he adds, I will remember their sins and their misdeeds no more. What a promise. That ought to be written on our hand. That ought to be where we can think about it all the time, that God, the only one that could do this, has made a promise that those who belong to him, that are in the covenant with him, when we eat this meal, we remember that the blood of Christ cleanses us and that he promises he will remember our sins no more. There's sins in my life I can't get out of my mind. But he'll remember them no more. Why do we eat this meal? I want to remember that promise. Sometimes I forget it. Sometimes the devil tells me, no, he'll never forgive you for that. He's the accuser when he does that. But God promises he'll remember our sin no more. Look at verse 19. He said, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus. Now, how did we do that? Well, Jesus opened the way with his blood as he brought the sacrifice, being the true high priest, the great high priest. Instead of bringing the blood of a bull or a goat, he brings his own blood, and he opens a way for us through the, he combines the idea of the tabernacle in his own body, but through the curtain of the tabernacle or through his own death, he opens the way for us. And how do we do that? Well, we remember our baptism. We remember that we are Christians. We remember that we said yes to God when he invited us. We remember that we answered the call that came to us. We remember that we belonged to him. We remember that we did what he told us to do, and we believe what he promised he would do, and we enjoy the friendship of God and the oneness of God, and we enter into that covenant with him. So every Sunday when we eat the Lord's Supper, we not only remember what Jesus did, but we remember what we did. And it's sort of like a reenactment of that again. I tell you what I do. I think about him on the cross, and I think about what a wretch I am, and I ask God to forgive me, and he promises he does. And so In a way, that baptism all those years ago and this meal that we're eating now kind of come together. And my faithful heart and God's righteousness and in the blood of His Son. Look at verse 23. He tells us in verse 23, let's just read it together here. He says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Well, we know God is faithful, but in verse 23, we remember our promise. We remember that there was a day when we stood before witnesses and said that I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And we told God we were sorry for our sins and we wanted to live for Him. And we became a Christian. And when we come together here in this memorial meal, we remember His death until He comes. And we should remember our promises that we've made. Remember promises you've made to God? Remember when you told Him you were going to do better at this? Remember when you told Him, please forgive me and I'll stop this stuff that I'm doing? Remember? Remember the promises that you made that you'll live with Him and for Him for the rest of your life? You know, we forget stuff like that. I know we get busy and we get interrupted and there's so much going on and you know there's just things to think about otherwise, and there's so many interruptions in our life. But at least once a week we should remember. We should remember our sins. We should remember God's sacrifice. We should remember God's covenant. We should remember our baptism, and we should remember our promises that we've made to God. And then in verse 24 and 25, he reminds us to remember the assembly. He tells us here, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. There's something about the communion. I know you can take it by yourself, but it was meant for us to do it together. When He tells us that when two or three come together in His name, that He is here. And when He tells us when we eat this bread and drink this cup, we're not only remembering, but He's participating. I don't know how He does this, but He's participating with us. And we are participating with one another. Even in the Old Testament, we were told, Jesus told us in the Sermon on the Mount, if you are going to give a gift to the altar, you know that you and your brother have trouble. You need to fix that. Because we are the body of Christ. If this hand just lives on its own and does whatever it wants to do, the body is all affected by it, isn't it? And if this body dies, this hand dies too. And He says, we should look for this opportunity. This is a glorious opportunity that we have when we come together on the Lord's Day. We come to be with the Lord. We come because He promises us when we come, He'll be here. And we love that, and we couldn't live without it, but we also know that His children are all coming together, and we're here together. And He said, we should remember what we're doing here as we encourage one another, and you encourage me, and we work together in this as we remember this opportunity that can only happen in the assembly. Sometimes we can't be at the assembly. Sometimes we're sick. Sometimes we're in situations that there's, you know, we're in a submarine somewhere or something. There's something we can't do anything about. But we don't do it on purpose. We don't neglect this assembly because this is where we remember. Where we remember and we remember each other. I really like preaching gospel meetings. I like preaching at lectureships. It's just a hoot. I just love it. But I love being with you. Some of you, I remember the day you were baptized. Some of you, I'm baptized. Some of you, I have watched you as you've encouraged me by living the life that you live. Some of you people have preached great sermons of encouragement by your faithfulness, not only to Christ, but to us. He said, we look for this opportunity, and we never, ever, 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 ever deliberately miss this opportunity that we have to be with Christ and to be together, to worship our Father, and to eat this meal. In verse 32, he tells us that we also remember God's faithfulness. In another place, he says, when we're faithless, he's still faithful. God is faithful. But in verse 32, he tells us, let's look at it. He said, but recall the former days when after you were enlightened, you endured hard struggles with suffering, sometimes being publicly exposed to abuse or affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. He says, when we come together, we come together to remember, but we also remember that God is faithful. A couple of Sundays ago, we talked about the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. We know that God is faithful. Well, maybe you've never been chained to a wall someplace and told deny Christ or stay here. But some of you have seen the faithfulness of God as you fought cancer. Some of you, as you fought loneliness. Some of you, as you fought unemployment. Some of you, as you fought heartbreak. What do we know about God? He is never very far away. And he is eager to hear from us. And that he is faithful. And if you live long enough and pay enough attention, you'll know that he's telling the truth when he says, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, even pain, even tribulation, in this case, even persecution. We remember that God is faithful. We remember our sins. We remember God's sacrifice. We remember God's covenant. We remember God's promise. We remember our baptism. We remember our promises. We remember the assembly. And we remember that God is faithful. And look at what he says at the end, the last verse, verse 39. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and keep their souls. And we remember our faith. Faith is not just the thing that we believe, that's part of it. But faith is that absolute determination that I'm going to do this. I'm going to keep the commandments. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I believe. And maybe our faith isn't as great as we want it to be. Maybe we're like that guy that brought his son to Jesus and said, I believe, help my unbelief. But whatever faith I have, I'm hanging on to it. We remember that. That's why we come together. That's why we eat this meal. Because it's a time to remember. Now, since we know about our sins and we know about the promises and we know about God's covenant and we know the way, wouldn't it be foolish to come to an assembly like this and then leave toting the same sin you brought in? Shouldn't be. We have an advocate with the Father. Some need to repent, and they need to do this openly and in public, and we invite you to do that. Some need to repent, and nobody but you and God knows about it, and so do it where you are. Some need the encouragement, how to build one another up, as he says, and we invite you to come for that. And some may not even know these promises because you don't know Christ, and we invite you to come for that. But whatever your need, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.